This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.
If you have a green thumb or have always wanted one, then get ready for Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, hosted by Ken Anderson, along with David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman. Garden Talk aims to introduce new ideas, help solve problems, and keep you up to date on the latest developments in the nursery and landscaping industry. Call in now with your gardening questions. 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Now, here are your Garden Talk hosts, Ken, David, Mark, and George.
Good morning, San Diego. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has the day off today. We're going to be here for the next hour talking to you about all kinds of stuff going on in your yard and garden. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. A little overcast this morning.
Yes, but it was...
a few clouds scattered.
But it's warm out. It's nice.
It was a beautiful morning.
Very, very nice. And when I got home yesterday, it was pleasant inside the house. It wasn't hot and it was not sweltering inside, which was nice.
It was a beautiful afternoon and evening.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah. You had a good trip, I take it?
I had a wonderful trip. I had not been to that particular island before, so it was a lot of fun.
What particular island was that?
Kauai.
That's a very pretty place. I haven't been there in 40 years. I'm assuming it's still pretty.
Yeah. Well, I'll bet it's moved a few inches.
Centimeters, perhaps, in okay. 40 years. Right?
Okay.
Let's see. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But right now, we have garden classes coming up in San Diego today. It's going to be drought-tolerant landscapes with Olivia. Always a timely class in this part of the country. That's going to be at 9 o'clock. At 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be cactus and succulent care and culture with Dean from Gnosis?
Correct.
Yes.
Gnosis Nursery.
With a G.
With a G. Gnosis with a G. It's Greek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to be a presentation on cactus and succulents, is it, George?
It is not. They're actually doing a little bit of a workshop. He's bringing some friends, Pete and Annabelle, who have a company called Root Down Pots, and they're going to show you how to best display your prize cactus and succulents.
Should be a good one. That's going to be at 9:30 at the Poway store.
And that's a sale as well. They're going to bring some unique specimens and those pots for sale.
Oh,
so little workshop with some extras.
Okay. Next weekend, already in August, August 6th, 9 o'clock in San Diego, it's going to be Shade Plants with Constance. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be Staghorn Care and Culture, Staghorn Care, Culture, and Remounting with you.
So for those who can't see,
thank you.
He's looking at David Ross
with contempt. It looked like it, did it
perhaps
not?
Perhaps so.
Yeah.
Well, it should be a good.
But would you?
It should be a good.
Could
class.
You change? How did you present it? Because I much prefer remounting and care.
It was care, culture, and remounting. And remounting.
You want to get rid of culture?
No, I want to change the order of.
Hang
you
on.
Know,
did
I,
you did you edit the newsletter at all? For
why,
August?
Why do you ask?
Because that's how it's worded in the newsletter.
That's how it came out.
Just thought I'd pass that along.
Thank you, sir.
You had the opportunity to change
yes,
it.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I'd rather complain about it on the air and not do anything about it. Is that okay?
Well, that's fine. Help yourself.
It's par for the course. Let's see. And Saturday, August 13th, from 9 to 10 o'clock, it's going to be worm composting with Kathleen in San Diego. And 9:30 in Poway, Hydroponics 101 with Rick.
Rick is a hobbyist who does hydroponics.
Oh.
And so he's going to come in and do a little workshop for us. It's a very simple backyard kind of thing. Nothing fancy. Little single bucket kind of
there you go.
Garden.
Okay.
If it's simple, that'd be good for me. I'll go take a look.
So that's what's coming up for garden classes for the next 3 weeks. If you want to see what is coming up, go to walteranderson.com. Click on the garden class tab in the navigation bar, and it will take you to all of the classes that we have scheduled as far out as that goes. Let's see. The San Diego Botanical Garden. I couldn't even remember my own writing. San Diego Botanical Garden Foundation. Today and tomorrow is the San Diego County Orchid Society Summer Show and Sale in Balboa Park. If you're looking for something to do, get out of the house and go up to the park. I would highly recommend going and checking out that show. There should be some should be some pretty interesting stuff to see and for sale as well. And then skipping up to August 19th, 20th, and 21st, the Fern Society is having their annual show and sale in Balboa Park. That's another one that should be pretty interesting, I would think. Some of the stuff that you're going to see there. And then the 27th and 28th of August, pushing it back a little bit farther, the Iris Society is having their annual rhizome sale. So if you're interested in rhizomes, that is probably a good one to hit, because I can pretty much guarantee you are going to find stuff there that you will not find in stores around San Diego.
In the fantastic selection that we should be getting that week as well.
Well, aren't we supposed to be getting some this week?
Or no, it's the 22nd of August. August.
Oh, I thought it was...
And this week is the end of the month.
You know, I know that because I edited the newsletter.
Okay. So there are things you pay attention to.
And actually, I believe it was edited to say the last week of August.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think the ship date was the 22nd. Yeah. So, and that's for the
week of.
That's for the bearded iris rhizomes.
Hour 30 or something.
Yeah, we got a pretty good selection coming in.
A lot of varieties.
Yeah, and they're usually they're the harbinger of the spring bulb season.
Fall bulb season.
Excuse me. Yeah.
Because of August coming up, just. Right.
Yeah. In a day or
well,
two.
See, that's the thing. It's fall bulbs, but they don't bloom until spring. So,
okay,
or close to it.
Yeah, I'll fair enough. Close to yeah. it.
Let's see what else we have going on.
I was going to say late winter, but and then the spring bulbs bloom in the summer.
Yeah,
that's the way. It's
kind of funky.
Yes,
always has been. I don't think anybody's going to change it anytime soon. If they were going to, they would have. I think.
I have a very serious gardening pest problem. Will you tell me when we can fit that in?
Don't forget, through I think it's September 16th, it's the World of Houseplants at the San Diego Botanical Garden.
I think that's the 5th, isn't it? September 5th? Their website says the 5th.
It's in September.
It's in September.
So you got time to go see it. So that's in the conservatory at the San Diego Botanical Garden. And I think you should, and if you want to go see it, I would get your reservations online, because I think it is limited entry into the conservatory at least.
So that would leave the entire upcoming month of August, which starts in a couple of days, for them to go, because it is not here yet, and then September is after August. Is that
no? It's on. The show's on.
Right. Yeah. That gives them the entire month.
The entire month of August.
Yes. Okay.
And a few days into September.
And a little bit of September.
There you go. So David,
and one extra.
Sure people know they can get there.
And two more days in July, today and tomorrow.
Okay.
So. So your pest problem?
Yes. You know, I have chickens at home,
mm-hmm.
and you know I
they're a pest.
Built an elaborate pen for them. The coop is fairly large, and it's wired along the sides and has a roof on top to contain them, because when they're out in the yard, what are they doing?
Destroying your yard.
Everything in the pen.
Absolutely.
One of my neighbors, I think two doors down, their chickens are coming up and trashing my mulch and my compost, and they're going under my avocado tree and wiping out everything that's under there.
What's under your avocado tree?
Well, mulch. all the leaves and the mulch and the fertilizer, and they scrape away all the leaves. They take all the worms. They take all the bugs. What do I do?
Chicken cacciatore.
It's. Thank you, sir. Okay. Problem solved. When we have bug pests,
we always say, well, if you have chickens, they love it. Throw it to the chickens. Well, now you have
pests,
then you should just throw
pest.
It to the kitchen.
You are good. Although I've always maintained that if I'm eating chickens from my yard, I didn't specify whose chickens I was eating from the yard, that the world would be in a pretty bad place, and I probably wouldn't want to be eating chickens. I'd rather just get them in the little, bags in the store. And I do enjoy my chicken.
Oh, I know.
But I don't know if
I want. So your chickens are for eggs?
Yes. Do you want me to? Do you?
Or to feed the rattlesnake that was in his.
That's right.
In his chicken coop. How did you get rid of that?
Well, I thought it would be very simple. He was coiled up. It was night, and
you
it was
should have
cool.
just reached down and grabbed it.
Also a plan.
I got a flat nose shovel and an empty galvanized grain can.
Okay.
My grain can. And I figured I would just scoop him up because he was cold and he wasn't going to move. But as soon as I went towards him with the shovel, he slithered away.
Oh.
And so I followed him with the shovel and with my galvanized can. And he tried to climb up the wire to get out, and he was unable. So I put the can down and coaxed him in and put the lid on. And it has a locking lid. It has the handle that comes up that will hold the lock the lid in place. And I left him inside the warm storage half of the coop overnight. And then took him for a ride on Monday morning. That must have been Sunday night into Monday. And released him in the National Wildlife Refuge.
Oh, I'm sure he's very happy over there.
I hope it was okay that I did that. I'm just kidding. I didn't really do any of that.
A little backtrack there?
Yeah, just in case. Yeah.
No, that's not. And I didn't dispatch him either because that might be illegal depending on the variety.
I have no problem dispatching them.
There is a variety that is.
Is there one of the?
Yeah, and I don't recall which.
Well, you know where you can find that out? Is if you get the California Fish and Game.
473-page or whatever
the,
it is.
The fishing license handbook. And it tells you all the stuff that you can. If you have a fishing license, you can take all kinds of other animals.
You can get lizards.
Lizards and snakes and all kinds of stuff.
So, okay.
You just need to get the book to find out what it is that you can take.
Do you have to pay for the book?
No,
it's online.
It's
actually, it's a PDF online.
Okay, is it free with my $65 or $7 saltwater fishing license that I got?
If you ask for it, it's free online too.
Okay, I will look it up.
Check it out. That was the first time I had ever looked through it. I was like, wow. I thought this was just a fishing license, but it's a lot. There's a lot more to a fishing license than just a fishing license.
So. Well, now it has much more value to it. So I'm not as bitter about the $65 to go fish in the bay a few times.
Well, the only thing I'm bitter about is I wish they would prorate the license instead of being a January 1 to December 31st.
I agree. And I also wish that I had bought the lifetime license, you know, years ago when it was affordable and when I was younger and would use it for more years.
Yeah, it's getting up there these days. Let's see. What else is going on? Peach beetles are in.
Oh yeah, they are the fig beetles.
The
green fig beetles.
They are in full swing right now. We were terrorizing people in the vineyard yesterday.
Well, David screamed like a young.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Well, I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen that many either.
You and I were out there yesterday, and you shook that one vine, and I mean it was like a swarm of bees.
And I shook it three times, and each time a large population
huge group came off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's people, like a horror movie.
You know, they're really not that bad. They're spooky.
No, but when they're in mass.
Yes, and they make a lot of noise, right. And they're large, and they fly slowly around your head, and they can be kind of annoying, and right. I can understand, but they're not going to bite you.
They're just not
like a praying mantis or a bee or something.
No, they're just unnerving.
Yes, they are.
Unnerving and annoying.
Yes, they are, but that's what a good badminton or tennis racket is for.
Actually, your hand as they're coming at you, they're quite easy.
Oh, would you like
to? And also chickens love those.
Yes, they do. Yes,
the beetles themselves?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, how do they catch them?
Our chickens like leaped in the air to get them. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, pterodactyls flying through the air to get them.
Wow.
A pterodactyl? A brooch?
Oh, my goodness.
I would catch them and stun them and give them to my chickens.
Oh, I see.
I'd like to let the chickens out to catch them on their own, but you know.
But they'd be fighting with the neighbor's chickens.
Yeah. Yes, and they will destroy my mulch.
I'll see. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We would love to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has the day off today. Hope he's sleeping in. I know I would be if I wasn't here.
Yeah, so, me too.
Go ahead. You go.
I just want to let you all know, for better or for worse, I did not have the winning mega billion dollar ticket sold in Illinois last night. So I'm here this morning.
And you'll be here the rest of the day at work?
Yeah. Yes.
Apparently, I did not have it either if it was sold in Illinois.
I got $4, so that counts.
Well done.
A minor return on your investment.
That's right.
Let's see, what else we got going on?
I was
going
to say, last week at this hour, I was in Kauai, and when I woke up 3 hours from now...
Oh, you mean somebody was mistaken?
I had two different texts, one on my text line at my regular phone and one on Facebook Messenger, giving me the 888-344-1170 if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys. But
yeah. Well, I told you to tell them it's 3 o'clock in the morning over there.
I know. I had it backwards for just a moment, a mere moment.
So I wrote and I said, were you expecting me to call in? Because it's 9:30 by the time I... Yeah.
It should have been 9:30 back there, but you were in the wrong direction.
They moved to Hawaii.
Went the wrong way. So tell us about your trip. You said it was a good trip.
It was a good trip. Capri and I spent a lot of time in the water at the beach on the north shore of Kauai, very private beach, and then hit three separate botanical gardens. One of them was an old sugar plantation, which had a 2.5-mile train ride around the plantation. They don't have any real sugar anymore production on the island, but they had a whole bunch of orchard trees. They have like cashews and mangoes and adamoyas and a host of other things.
Oh, very cool.
That the train stops, and there's different types of tours. One is just this loop. The other one, they'll stop and you actually get to taste test some of the fruit as you're going through.
And you didn't do that?
Not on that particular one, because they didn't do it on that day. They had these different days for things and we had other things scheduled. But one of the, I think for Capri, the best part was they had animals everywhere, chickens and pigs and goats and horses and donkeys and such, and they would stop the train periodically and throw all these corn tortillas out. And talking about chickens coming, like chickens out of nowhere showed up. All these chickens were coming for the food. And then as we went to this one big pen, you got out and you could feed the pigs and the horse. And I think, you know, I was enjoying all the fruit trees, and I'm sure to some degree Capri was, but she had a blast feeding the animals.
Feeding the animals. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. You said there's like some insane amount of chickens on Kauai.
Yeah, I forgot the number, but it's insane. Yeah.
Didn't you say like 475,000?
I think I made that number up on the spot because 63.4% of all statistics are made up on the spot. So,
I believed you, George, because it was George.
There's hundreds of thousands. I'll look up the number.
Lots.
There are lots, and they're everywhere, and you hear it, and they're one of the guidebooks said that they're not very bright because the roosters will crow at, you know, 4:30 in the morning and 2:15 in the afternoon and 5:30 at night and 7. They just...
So if they weren't crowing at odd hours, then they'd be really smart chickens?
They'd be smart. They know it's morning, it's time to crow, and I'll move on with my day. But yeah, they don't. They just do it all day long.
My rooster crows...
All day long.
All day and all night. I would... If I were a hen, I would be a little bitter that I didn't get to sleep because he crows at night too.
Yeah.
My parents had one, and I only remember it crowing in the morning. Man, that bird...
That's when you were awake.
That bird hated me. I mean, I did nothing to it, but I'd walk out in the backyard. That thing would see me from across the yard, and it would run across the yard to come over and start kicking me.
You were a threat to his flock.
I don't think they had any other birds. I think it was just the rooster. But man, that thing hated me.
I once had an aggressive rooster.
Once?
How do you taste?
I don't know, but I'll ask the cleaners next time I see them.
You went to
Lima Huli, which was Mike, our good friend Mike from the zoo, mm-hmm. suggested it because it's an ethnobotanical garden where it's a garden and preserve that is remade in the style that either the Polynesians or the original Hawaiians had grown their taro and how they kind of tamed the water streams.
With the lava rock.
Exactly. And that was great. They had great presentations on canoe plants that were brought over from the Pacific Islands and then indigenous plants. And it was very well laid out with good signage, really good signage. And speaking of, we played miniature golf one day, and at this particular golf course, they had signs at each starting point about Hawaiian plants and culture, and it was very educational. It was a great little excursion that added a lot of knowledge of the islands and the plants.
Very interesting. Did you go to Waimea Canyon?
We did not, not that time. South side. We didn't go down that.
Oh, that's right. You said
we
you
stayed
were in
mostly on the
north,
top,
on yeah. the north. Yeah.
Oh, and how was that hike at the end of the road there?
The hike you unfortunately the world famous hike that everybody goes to the North Shore to do. You now need passes to actually do the trail.
Oh.
Once we got there, I thought we needed passes to park, and I was incorrect. You actually needed passes to hike, so you couldn't park anywhere else and walk in. So that was a wash, and when we went to try to get passes, it was 3 or 4 weeks out.
Oh, wow.
So you had to do it before you ever arrived on the island.
Yeah.
So that was a mistake
on
our part.
I think I did that in 1979. I just remember going on some path on Kauai, and it was really slippery and
that's most of
dangerous.
Them, though.
91, yes. And there was so much debris under the pandanus.
Yeah.
The screw pine fruit and flies and stink from that. I remember that on that hike. I would have looked at parking outside of the park of that trail.
Right, and sneaking, making your way in.
Yes.
I don't think it was possible on that side. I could be wrong. I mean,
did you go down there? Did you go to the end, or did you just?
We drove into where you
because
you're
a rule
trail,
follower.
I'm not that much of a. Well, I am mostly, but we tried to go in and it didn't work. So,
gotcha.
And then we
okay.
turned around thinking we would park, and then Caprice and I that you actually have to have a pass to get in. So.
Now, it's been a long time, but I remember giant pothos draping the trees along the end of that road.
I have some pictures. In fact, I owe Mary a picture. But yeah, the pothos and philodendrons just up coconut trees all the way to the top. And
yeah.
It gives it that jungle look, but it also chokes a lot of trees out.
Yeah. I remember the giant pothos down in Tahiti with foliage on them that's the size of philodendrons. I mean, and growing up the tree, just growing up the trunks of palm trees and stuff. It's pretty spectacular.
It makes
it's a beautiful looking plant if it's not choking out everything in your yard.
Yeah.
And I was swinging on some of the vines, if you recall.
I saw that picture. It looks staged, but it was able to support your nominal weight.
Well, I'm a little heavier than I was when I left for Hawaii. But, you know, I was, I did swing on it and successfully without ripping the branches or my arms off.
There was another houseplant that I saw a picture of, the croton.
Oh, yes. I put Capri beside it so we could see the scale because we typically see our houseplant crotons at 2 feet maybe.
Had you been standing next to it, we wouldn't have been able to get a proper scale.
No, you need it, yeah, because it's a tall plant, yeah. But it was gorgeous. That's one of the neat things about being somewhere like that is what we see as house plants are just outdoor gorgeous.
Well, I'm glad you said it was to show the size of the plant, because when you said you had her stand next to it for scale, I was concerned that it was giant scale that was on it.
Oh, no. In fact, I didn't see too many insect pests, quite honestly. Maybe because there are so many chickens everywhere.
It could be. It is a beautiful island, though.
And Monstera, by the way. Monstera everywhere with fruit, big fruit heads on so many plants.
What is the species name of that Monstera?
Deliciosa.
And why, maybe?
Because you can eat those at the proper time. Otherwise, they're toxic.
Oh, that's good to
know. They will make you sick. Yes.
Oh.
And supposedly, it tastes like pineapple.
If you get them when they're ripe.
Well, see, I just eat a pineapple.
Tastes like death if you get them when they're not ripe, but, you know.
Other than that, yeah.
Let's see, what else we got?
Did you see any variegated monsteras there?
You know, I didn't. I was because we have them in our store, so I was looking. But I only saw the regular, you know, Mod Zero type.
And you have a new favorite tree.
Well, I don't know if it's my favorite tree, but it might be one of my favorite ornamental trees, and that is the eucalyptus, the rainbow eucalyptus.
Oh, that's not the one I was thinking about.
You're right. You're thinking of the crepe myrtle, the speciosa.
Lagerstromia speciosa.
Oh, yeah. And we have two, and ours are blooming right now at our nursery.
We have two at the Poway store.
I will tell you something. We went on another tour, and I forgot how to pronounce it. What was the na-ani?
Shana.
Na-aina.
Kai. That was a garden preserve and sculpture park And that was Charles Schultz from Peanuts. His first wife owned it. They had bought some property there in 79 and built a home. Beautiful gardens. And the woman that gave us the tour was very knowledgeable. But unlike us, she does the opposite of what we do here on the radio show. She only spoke in common plant names. And I was looking for the genus on some of them so I could tie them to what I know. Mm-hmm. And she only gave common names. And we tend to do genus here and not the common names for people. But it was useful because...
Why do we not do that?
Well, we don't do that because there are so many plants that common names are you know, there's one plant that has, I mean, there are 10 plants that have the same common name that are in different genus. And that's why I wanted to know what the genus was. Because
right.
She would say, for example, there was a beautiful garden wall of plants in a labyrinth that they had, she called them mock orange. And I said, oh, which mock orange is it? Is it the Pittosporum? Is it the, you know, Philadelphus? And she goes, oh, I don't know. So I went and looked, and it was neither. But so it's just yet another plant. Called, I forgot what it was. I took a picture. I'll share later. But so that's where it's important, you know, when we do use
the binomial system of nomenclature.
It makes sense to use it, but common names can be useful for people, too, so they know what plant we're talking about.
Well, it's kind of interesting. I was reading the history of that garden. It said in the late 70s, Ed and Joyce Doty decided to move from Santa Rosa, California to Kauai to retire. They had been raising mules, crossing different breeds of female horses, mares, with male donkeys, jacks, to see what kind of mule resulted. When that project was no longer fun...
Well, as I said, Joe, it was Charles Schultz's first wife, so when you have some disposable income, something's not fun, you move on to the next thing.
So when that project was no longer fun, they came to Kauai looking for land on the beach where they could spend their time relaxing, reading, and fishing, and they ended up with 30 acres of farmland and a 12-acre house site. So,
it's gorgeous. Their house site, the house is, you know, pretty neat, but they have a beautiful... veranda or, you know, deck that overlooks the ocean and it's spectacular.
Sounds really neat. I gotta go back. She was
into art and there were sculptures everywhere. And clearly you have money when you go, I would like a sculpture of kids playing with a dog, or I would love a sculpture of this. And they're just everywhere. And they're gorgeous and they all have sentimental value and they're neat, but you have some disposable income when you're doing that.
It's funny when you said that she's into art and had sculptures everywhere. I assumed those were her sculptures, that she was the artist.
No, she wasn't. She brought in art. And it's well worth a visit. And it's a nice little venue.
You want to try and pronounce it one more time?
Na'aina Kai.
Botanical Garden and Sculpture Park.
N-A-A-I-N-A-K-A-I.
Correct.
You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back with more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. I'm Ken Anderson along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has a day off. Speaking of sugar, that's the one thing I really remember mostly on Maui, the first time that I went to Hawaii, which I think was 1979, there was sugar everywhere. I mean, there was still sugar on Oahu at that time. As I recall, but it was everywhere.
Yeah, and not so much.
There's none.
Nope.
There is none now. It's a pretty incredible history and a pretty incredible industry that's just completely gone now.
Yep.
And then the other thing that was kind of interesting over by Lahaina, they used to grow tomatoes in the fields where they used to grow. Sugarcane.
Okay.
Up on the side of the mountains, and they grew some of the Maui tomatoes were just some of the best tomatoes that they ever grew. And then this was years ago. There was a fire, a brush fire. And so they were dumping water on everything to put the fire out. Well, they were dumping seawater on it, and it wiped out all the tomato fields. At least that was the story that I heard. So that was the end of the Maui tomatoes. They flooded everything with seawater to keep the fire under control. Anyway, if you want to give us a call today, 888-344-1170 is the number. We are heading out to El Cajon, where Lori is waiting. Good morning, Lori. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. What can we do for you?
Well, I meant to call you guys last week, but I overslept.
You guys, I don't blame you.
You guys have been talking about the palm tree weevil.
Yes.
And I went and I got some of the systemic insecticide, and I just want to make sure that I don't over poison my tree. I want to make sure I have to measure the trunk and do exactly what it says about the third. It says 1 inch per diameter of the trunk. So it's the main, my trunk kind of goes, it's bigger at the bottom and smaller at the top. So where do I measure the trunk?
Approximately chest height. And it is the circumference, not the diameter that you're measuring. You want the distance around the trunk in inches, and then I believe it's 1 ounce per gallon, 1 ounce per inch of trunk circumference put into a gallon of water and poured around the base.
Okay. I used the wrong word. You're right. Circumference.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think it's going to be pretty tough to over-deliver on a palm tree that size. Do your best to get as close as you can as far as the measurements are concerned always, but I wouldn't be overly concerned about it. I think you get some on there, I think you're going to be in good shape.
Okay. Well, in addition to this, I'm trying to get rid of my stupid lawn around it, and I wanted to plant some drought-tolerant plants, and I didn't know how deep I should or close I should plant to the palm. I didn't want to mess up its roots, and I also don't know how soon I should plant after I put in this systemic.
Well, just real quickly, was I not paying attention when she told us what kind of palm, or did we not
hear
that?
It was a queen palm.
It's a queen palm. Well,
it came with that, so I don't know.
The queen palm is susceptible, but it is not as susceptible
as the date palms.
And you can plant right after the systemic. I think I would go 3 to 5 feet away from the trunk, because there's going to be a pretty dense mat of roots.
It's gonna be hard to dig
dig.
You'll know.
I'd probably a minimum of 3 to 5 feet away from the trunk, and if you want plants in that area, instead of planting in that area, plant something that'll stay low and spread and train it that direction to grow into it with the roots a little bit farther away from the trunk.
So that's why nothing's growing there now. Got it.
Yeah, the roots of those palms will mat and just push everything out of the way. I remember it at the Enterprise Street location of the nursery where the queen palms were in the bricks. The bricks have been pushed or were displaced around the palms from the roots pushing them out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting with the queen palms. My parents had a semi above ground pool at our house on Ticonderoga Street, and in the deep end of the pool there were queen palms planted around the pool, and you could see where the roots would come over and they'd hit the liner and they would turn down. They're not super invasive, but there's a lot of them. Yeah, there is a lot of roots off of them. So yeah, plant stuff 3 to 5 feet away from the trunk, and plant trailing things, and they will trail into that area, and you should be able to fill it up to some extent. And the area that doesn't fill up, just go ahead and either mulch it or put down like Mexican beach pebbles or something like that, just to cover up the ground and clean it up a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay. You have a great weekend, Lori. Thank you for the call.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Take care. If you want to give us a call, 888-344-1170 is the number. Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on that big date palm up the street from us. And
well, do you think it has weevils in it?
Or I don't know. The older foliage looks like it's starting to sag, and I think that's what the early indication might be.
Have we knocked on the door to?
No, I haven't. I haven't done. It's okay. If they were listening, they would know. So
you need to leave a
card. Did you knock
there,
on the door to tell them to listen?
No, because everybody knows that we're on at 6 o'clock.
You sent a, but David doesn't know the time when you use it across the globe. But you were the one that swatted a red palm weevil, right? Just recently,
right out of the air.
Yeah, right out of the air.
Thinking it was an early season green fruit beetle. Yes, right. And I don't have. There's no Canary Island date palms on our street.
It's just cruising around looking for something.
Looking for some kind of palm tree.
There are a few all the way across Campbell Road and up the hill. You can see them on the hillside across the valley, but none close.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There's so many different date palms that are out there. It seems like they only go after they've only primarily gone after the Canary Island date palms. I know there's a bunch of Phoenix dactylifers in the condos down at the bottom of the street. I mean, a lot of them, and they don't show any signs of it at all.
I would expect them. In talking to Kurt Peacock about this, with the fusarium, it is spreading across other species of the Phoenix genus, mm-hmm. and he was saying that he just doesn't think that the Canary Islands are going to be around, and probably the dactyliferous too, but the Canary Islands especially are going to be gone from San Diego because the fusarium and the beetle, they're
disappearing really fast. Really, really. It is not hard to spot dead Canary Island date palms around town. They're everywhere, especially in undeveloped areas like the riverbed and things like that.
It took three out of my, well, you were two out of my parents' yard.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Let's see, we're going to go talk to Barbara right now. He's got an orange question. Good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good. What can we do for you?
Okay. I've about done digging a hole in my yard to transplant an orange tree that's in a full-size half whiskey barrel. Mm-hmm. And I just need to know what I should do to amend the soil before I put it back in there. Compost. I've got peat moss, grow mulch. I don't want to spend a fortune because it's a good-sized hole. I got carried away on digging it.
Well, hopefully you maintained the soil that you took out.
Well, you could come over to my yard and dig some holes. I got some stuff I need to plant.
I saved all the good stuff.
Well, you'll want to mix that with a good planting medium. It can be compost. It can be any kind of...
the citrus and palm.
That works well, but even the, you know, if she already has compost, that will work. There's some schools of thought saying not to add anything, but I like to amend with some organic material when I plant, and I know David does as well.
With citrus, I would probably stay away from peat moss.
I would stay away from the peat moss as well.
Because it holds so much water.
The Big Harvest Bale works. Any of the EB Stone.
I'm a fan of the Big Harvest Bale.
It's economical, and it has a lot of good product in it.
Worm castings,
chicken manure.
EB Stone, Big Harvest Garden Soil. Isn't that what it's called? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Big Harvest Bale is a euphemism for it.
Yeah, I think that's what it used to be called. I think it's called Garden Soil now.
And it's in a compressed bale because
it's 3 cubic feet. It'll be more than you need, but you can use the rest in anything else in the garden or as a mulch.
You don't know how big of a hole she dug.
Well,
apparently it's pretty big.
I don't think she'll use 3 cubic feet. But
I just measured it. It's 20 inches deep. 40 inches wide on one side, 44 on the other side.
Yeah. You should just put a hot tub in.
I wanted to give the tree a good chance.
I think you definitely will give the tree a fighting chance with a hole that size. Congratulations. That's much bigger than I would have dug.
Right.
I told you it got carried away.
And when you do plant it, make sure you plant it a little bit high because it's going to settle and you don't want the soil around it to start covering up the crown, up the trunk. Right.
Keep the existing root ball about 3/4 of an inch above the existing grade. That should give you some space for settling. Yeah, you don't want the soil to build up around the trunk of the tree.
Right. Now, what ratio should I mix, like the compost and the dirt and the...
No more than 50%.
50%, okay. And should I, because I was thinking of doing like the bottom half with the compost and soil mixture and then maybe the top half with some better stuff.
Nope, like nope. Here. You want it to be uniform throughout, homogenous.
Oh. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. So I guess I'm taking a trip to the landfill. That or that BB. No, that BB.
EB. Echo BB? Bravo. Okay. Right. EB.
Yeah.
That's a soil, or is it a compost, or what is it?
Yes, it's a soil amendment. There's no soil in it. It's more of a compost. It has wood product in it, and as David said, it has worm castings, chicken manure, and a couple other things.
Yeah, and as far as amendment is concerned, I would definitely take a look at the EB Stone, whatever it is, the
garden soil, big garden, harvest bale,
the big harvest garden soil. Rather than the stuff that you get from the landfill, I would say you can use that as a mulch. But because you really have no clue as to what is in it, there's very little control. I wouldn't necessarily use it as a soil amendment. And if it's not fully composted, mixing that with your existing soil is going to suck the nitrogen out of the soil as it continues to break down. So I would use it. I would say use that as a mulch, but I wouldn't use it as a soil amendment.
Okay, and then. Speaking of fertilizer, how should I feed it after transplanting it, and what?
Grow Power Citrus and Avocado Food is what I use. And even though it says Citrus and Avocado Food on it, you can use it on other stuff in your yard too. It's good for fruit. You can use it on everything. It's a great fertilizer.
Should I give it a heavy feeding after transplanting, or
I wouldn't say a heavy feeding, but just a regular feeding, and then get on a regular schedule with it probably about every 8 weeks or so. 8 to 12 weeks.
On a new planting, I would do it a little more frequently and give it less. I'd give it a. You said it's in an oak barrel now?
Husky barrel, yeah. A full size.
Mix a throw a couple of hands full over the top, sprinkles around the base, about once a month for the rest of this summer, and then water it in. And I'd throw a couple of hands full in the bottom of the hole and mix it in with the soil as well, so it's down there when the roots start
moving out.
Moving in.
Okay. Okay, I just want to make sure I have this. So EB Stone, big
harvest bale or big garden soil. Bale. Either way,
we'll get you there. Yeah.
Big harvest. Okay, got it. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Barbara.
Take care.
Have a great weekend. Bye. Take care. You're listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Get your gardening questions answered by calling 888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. There is more Garden Talk on the way. Welcome back to Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery. Got a gardening question? Call 888-344-1170. 888-344-1170. Now, here's your hosts, Ken Anderson, David Ross, Mark Mahady, and George Allman.
And we're back. With more Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ, I'm Ken Anderson, along with David Ross and George Allman. Mark Mahady has a day off. One of the things I've been meaning to do for a while, and haven't done it yet, in Encinitas at the Self-Realization Fellowship.
Yes, I've been meaning to talk to you about having some self-realization for a long time.
Which is over by, I guess it's by Swami's. It's that weird, interesting architectural.
It's on the little thing. Point there, right?
Yeah, yeah. They have a botanical garden there, and it's botanical garden and a meditation garden, and it's free admission to get in. And I heard about it for a long time.
Now, wait a second, free?
Free? Yeah.
Okay, now I will.
It's right up your alley.
I'll pay attention.
Yeah. So I had been meaning to go for a long time, and then I was talking to our assistant manager Gretchen this week, and she went. Last week on her day off, and she said it's really, really nice. So that's on my list to do fairly soon this summer, is to go over and check out the Self-Realization Garden.
And then you can pop over to Del Mar on a day when the track is operating.
Yeah. Yeah. When we went, Melanie and I took off a little early on Wednesday to go catch a couple of races at Del Mar, and we're coming up coming up Coast Highway, get to the traffic circle because we go in where the
say it's,
fire.
Boy, it's
where the
light today.
I'm like,
light.
Wow, there's hardly anybody here. We're gonna have the place to ourselves. We go in and we park where we usually park, and there's no valet. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird, man. It really is gonna be light today, and they're dark on Wednesday. We didn't realize that
they did have the place to themselves. Yeah.
So we went to the racing office to make it look like we were there for a reason and not just for being stupid. So it wasn't a total loss, but we're going today, though.
Today, the part of David will be played by Ken and Melanie.
It should be a nice day. So if you see me hanging around at the track today, be sure to say hi.
Or on Wednesday, go talk to him. So he doesn't feel so foolish.
I'll be much easier to find on Wednesday than I would be today. So anyway, it should be a nice day over there in Del Mar. What else do we have going? If you're considering putting in a fall vegetable garden, I would consider doing that now. We have a fairly good selection of stuff. And
you mean a second summer?
A second summer, yeah. Not a fall vegetable.
Yeah, thank you. I'm like, wait a minute, it's not even August yet.
Okay. I was going to ask him to wait for a day and a half, I realized.
It's the whole bulb thing. So you put them in now, you'll have. Put tomatoes in now, you'll have them.
For Thanksgiving.
I've never done that before, but I'm considering it this year.
Oh, I'm going to do it this year because so many of my tomatoes got blossom end rot. But I think it's just because I think it was the
Inconsistent watering.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
cherry tomatoes don't get blossom end rot. So.
No. One of the tomatoes I planted this year is delicious, and I really would like to plant it again next year.
But you don't know what it is.
Yeah, there's a reason that we label them, right?
Oh yeah.
And I think it's did we do a Better Boy and Celebrity?
We did Celebrity and Early Girl. I don't think you and
My Early Girl was not as tasty as I didn't remember them.
Better Boy with you.
Was it Celebrity then?
I think it was Celebrity. Yeah.
Okay. I'm pretty pleased with it. I think that's what it is.
Now that's a determinant one, right? Celebrity determinant?
Well, is it semi? So this is not determinant, so it's probably Better Boy. Or it could be something else. It's delicious.
One of our coworkers, Adams, brought in some tomato starts of different varieties. If you took one of those,
Not one of those because those are. Pretty sure those were a little bit later, so they're in a different spot. So I have no idea what it is, but it's really, really good, and I really want to plant it again next year.
Right. I understand.
Okay. Yeah. What was the other half of our?
I think we did celebrity. Sun Gold.
Okay, I have the Sun Gold. Yep. I have an Early Girl. I know where the Cherokee Purple is, but I think this is either Celebrity. So this must be.
I did Costa Ludo Genovese, but I don't think you and I did that together.
And that's very distinctive with
this.
Yes. Yeah. We got some of those in yesterday.
Ooh. Which one?
Costa Ludo Genovese.
What's so good about that one?
It's a great heirloom. It's very
just
tasty.
Flavor. Yeah. It's ugly. It's creased.
It is. It's like me, but it's tasty. Let's move on.
Please. You sure you don't want to just end it early?
Move on. What classes are coming up,
Ken?
Let's go back to the classes. Today, July 30th in San Diego at 9 o'clock, it's going to be drought-tolerant landscapes with Olivia. 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be cactus and succulent care and culture with Dean from Gnosis Gardens. And it's not just going to be...
Not just information, it's going to be a little workshop. He's providing soil and stuff and have some unique specimens for sale.
That he's going to direct sell there.
Yeah. And next weekend, it's going to be shade plants with Constance in San Diego at 9 o'clock. And at 9:30 in Poway, it's going to be staghorn fir care, culture, and remounting with David Ross.
I thought you were going to pull an audible and change it right there on him and say remounting and care.
Yeah, to do it. No, it was not a beefsteak, Tim, but thanks for suggesting it. I got a picture of Tim's beefsteak tomato, speaking of George.
Oh, is it all cat-faced?
Yeah, kind of. Not all cat-faced, but...
But mostly.
Mostly.
Partially.
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 Yeah. You've been listening to Garden Talk here on KCBQ and KPRZ. We're going to be back with another hour of Garden Talk right here next Saturday morning at 6 o'clock. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thanks for joining us on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery, your source for gardening, landscaping, and horticulture news. Still have a question for the Garden Talk crew? or want to learn more about the show, how to become a guest or sponsor, send an email to askanexpert@walteranderson.com. That's askanexpert@walteranderson.com or visit walteranderson.com. There's more professional gardening advice next week at this same time on Garden Talk by Walter Anderson Nursery.
This program is sponsored by Walter Anderson Nursery.